What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time on this morning's programme to take a look at some of those things relevant to us for this end of this week. Yes, it's come round rather quickly, hasn't it? Starting off with the epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health for Thursday. 454 new infections were registered. In the last 24 hours, two deaths occurred and one from an earlier date was updated, which brings the total number of deaths now due to COVID-19 to 8,101. The new cases were detected after 7,215 tests were applied, which gives us a positivity of 6.3%. According to the epidemiological report, the number of active cases is now 4,536. Of those active cases, 4,366 are in home isolation and 170 hospitalised. Those in isolation are divided into 4,328 at home and 38 in the hotels, so-called hospital hotels. There are 146 patients confined to the wards and 24 patients in the intensive care units. The Comptroller General of the Republic reported on the afternoon of this Thursday that mobilisation expenses were definitively eliminated after an administrative, economic and functional study on assignments to mayors, councillors and representatives of townships. This decision of the Comptroller's office was informed through a circular addressed to local government authorities throughout the country. It was also communicated to the coordinator of multi-sectional control and to the chiefs, deputy chiefs and supervisors of control in the municipalities. On the 24th of January, the Comptroller General of the Republic, Gerardo Solís, cancelled the payment of mobilisation expenses to all mayors and representatives. To analyse this situation, a study was carried out in which a multidisciplinary team of accountants, auditors, statisticians and lawyers participated. The group subsequently presented its conclusions and recommendations on representation expenses granted to mayors, representatives and council members. The Attorney General of the Administration, Rigoberto González, confirmed in early January of 2022 that he resumed the investigation related to the complaint filed for the handling of mobilisation expenses. Now, according to the Comptroller, the mobilisation expenses for the mayors and representatives of the country cost $1,026,000 a month, or $12.3 million a year. On the other hand, some mayors earn more than the President of the Republic and magistrates of the Supreme Court of Justice. This study began 15 years after being initiated by the administration of former Comptroller Carlos Vallarino on the 7th of May of 2007. According to the entity, the institutional team was made up of 37 professionals who in 3 weeks analysed the situation. The Panama Canal Authority, the ACP, reaffirmed this Thursday that the interoceanic route will maintain its policy of neutrality in the face of Russia's invasion of Ukraine and refused to impose any kind of transit ban on Russian vessels. The Panama Canal closely follows the current situation in Ukraine, but it is a permanently neutral international transit waterway, the ACP said in a statement sent to the AFP. In 1977, the former President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, and the now-deceased Panamanian nationalist leader, Omar Torrijos, signed the treaties by which Panama received the canal from the United States. In one of those treaties, the neutrality of the Panama Canal is declared, recalls the ACP, at a time when the West is carrying out numerous sanctions to affect the Russian economy due to its military intervention in Ukraine. The objective of this neutrality is that both in times of peace and in times of war, the canal remains safe and open for the peaceful transit of ships from all nations on terms of complete equality, adds the Canal Authority. On Wednesday, a small group of Ukrainians during a protest in Panama City collected signatures to ask the Panamanian government to close access to the canal to Russian ships as a sanction for the invasion of Ukraine. According to official data, the Russian presence in the Panama Canal, through which 3.5% of the world maritime trade passes, is purely symbolic. During the last fiscal year, the list of 15 largest users of the canal was led by the United States, 72.5%, while the last position was occupied by Spain, with 1.6% of the load. Russia does not appear in that list in the main users of the canal, whose main routes connect China, Japan and South Korea with the east coast of the United States and South America with Europe. In the note, the ACP also assures that the canal will analyse the possible impacts that the invasion of Ukraine may have in Panama. The situation could affect, in the short or long term, the world maritime trade supply chain, which would impact the tonnage, the number of transits and the income that the canal charges ships for their use, adds the ACP. In fiscal year 2021, the 80-kilometre Panamanian route broke its cargo transit record, with a passage of 516 million tonnes. Since its inauguration by the United States in 1914, more than a million boats have crossed its waters. President Laurentino Cortizo announced on Thursday that as of Monday, that's the 7th of March, the Institute for the Training and Use of Human Resources will begin disbursing the PASS-U scholarships and competition scholarships. The amount to be paid is $92.6 million, he indicated. There are 687,036 students who will collect the UPAS scholarship through the youth card and 96,558 students who will collect competitive scholarships, distinguished position, disability, art, culture, sports and others. Meanwhile, on the 14th of March, the students who receive the UPAS will be paid through checks as well as the different IFARU scholarship programs. A Spanish judge denied a request made by former President Ricardo Martinelli Berrocal to file the process against him as a defendant for his possible link to a corruption and money laundering scheme involving the Spanish company Formento de Construcciones y Contratas, known as FCC, one of the largest contractors of the Panamanian government. According to the digital newspaper La Información, based in Madrid, Martinelli requested the dismissal after declaring by video conference last December, but the judge of the National Court of Spain, Ismael Moreno, rejected said claim in an order issued on the 24th of January because he sees no reason to agree to such a decision. The Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office and the Baltasar Garzón International Foundation, which is known as FIPGAR, had requested that the filing claim by Martinelli be denied. The magistrate, Ismael Moreno, understands that the requirements to rule out his alleged involvement in committing crimes of money laundering and corruption in international transactions in relation to award of lines 1 and 2, this is of the Metro, and the City of Health Panama, indicates the note of LaInformacion.com. Martinelli was summoned to testify as an investigator and the appearance took place on the 17th of December of last year. However, that date, the former president stated that he would take advantage of his right not to testify and that he would only answer the questions of his lawyer, but not those of the prosecution or of FIPGAR, who exercises the private prosecution in this case. The ex-president then said that his statement had been voluntary and that everything was a show by Baltasar Garzón with 16 lawyers. I have no candles at that funeral, he cried out in a message posted on his Twitter account on the 17th of December. Judge Moreno's decision, meanwhile, seems, well, to indicate yes. A guarantee judge in Colombia ordered on Thursday the capture of Diego Cadena, a lawyer for the former president Alvaro Uribe and the former president of Panama, Ricardo Martinelli. The decision was made after the Colombian Attorney General's office requested the capture and change of precautionary measure for non-compliance with the house arrest that Cadena had maintained since December of 2021. Now, according to the prosecutor's office, the lawyer travelled abroad for which he violated the security measure that he was required to comply with. Colombia's W Radio revealed on March 2nd an image of Diego Cadena during his trip to Panama on the 15th of February. Cadena has been prosecuted for alleged tax fraud and bribery in criminal proceedings. According to the Colombian prosecutor's investigation, Cadena paid large sums of money to an imprisoned former paramilitary to testify against Senator Ivan Cepeda and presumably to benefit his client, Alvaro Uribe. The Colombian lawyer represented former President Ricardo Martinelli in a claim before the Spanish newspaper El Mundo for a story published in October of 2019 referring to the case that managers of the construction company Fomento de Construcciones y Contratas, FCC, are being followed for payments of bribes in Panama. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken thanked Costa Rica, Panama and the Dominican Republic for their support for the Nicaraguan people in front of President Daniel Ortega. This was in a meeting with their foreign ministers in which they discussed migration, Honduras, Haiti and trade, his spokesman reported on Thursday. Blinken thanked them for their efforts to strengthen democratic institutions and norms, including supporting the Nicaraguan people in their struggle to restore democracy and protect human rights from abuses by the Ortega Murillo regime, Ned Price said in a statement mentioning the president of Nicaragua and his wife, Vice President Rosario Murillo. Washington repeated calls for the release of opponents detained in Nicaragua, including seven who aspired to the presidency in the last elections, which it considers a farce and denounces human rights violations in the country. The head of the United States diplomacy met this Wednesday with his counterparts from Costa Rica, Rodolfo Solano, Dominican Republic, Roberto Alvarez, and Panama's Erika Moines. These three Latin American countries form the Alliance for Development in Democracy, which, according to the United States, is a model of how the leaders of the Western Hemisphere can collaborate to achieve progress on issues of common interest. The Colon Free Zone, ZLC, was $171 million away from matching in 2021 the commercial movement it reported as of December the 31st of 2019, 3 months before the first case of coronavirus COVID-19 was detected. The pandemic caused the second largest free zone in the world to close 2020 with a 20% drop in its commercial movement. The ZLC report indicates that in 2021, imports and re-exports totaled $18,640 million, which meant a drop of 0.9% compared to 2019, but an increase of 29% against the movement of 2020, when the commercial complex operated with restrictions for more than 6 months. Accumulated imports as of December the 31st of 2021 reached $9,037.9 million, an increase of 4.4% and 35.6% compared to the periods of 2019 and 2020, respectively. On the other hand, re-exports closed last year at $9,603 million, reflecting a contraction of 2.1% compared to 2019 and a growth of 23.8% compared to 2020. The sale of electronic, pharmaceutical, chemical, perfume and cosmetic products, clothing in general, common metals and alcoholic beverages remain among the main drivers of growth in the free zone. ZLC businessmen are confident that the positive trend registered last year will be consolidated during 2022, but they warn that it is necessary to continue promoting the free zone to attract more buyers. As for the cargo that was moved last year, the ZLC reported that it closed with 1,752.5 metric tons, exceeding the numbers prior to the pandemic by 101.8 metric tons and the 2020 data by 439.8 metric tons. China is the main supplier of the companies that operate in the ZLC, followed by the United States, Mexico and Hong Kong, while Costa Rica, Guatemala, Colombia, Venezuela and Honduras are the main re-export destinations. And that's it. There we go. There's a look at some of those things in the local news compiled for you on The Breakfast Show.